That's some good fiddle playing. That's music by Felix Mendelssohn, played by the internationally acclaimed violinist Hilary Hahn. She is a three-time Grammy Award winner who took her first violin lesson at the Peabody Institute here in Baltimore just before her fourth birthday. 6 years later, at the ripe old age of 10, she was off and running on a concert career that has taken her to five continents and 43 countries around the world. She spoke at the Peabody Institute's commencement ceremony yesterday, and before she takes off for her next port of call, she's been kind enough to make a stop here in Studio A. Hilary, it's great to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Welcome to Midday. So gave a talk to the students at Peabody as they embark on their, you know, post-education careers. What'd you tell them?
Well, in a nutshell, I wanted to talk a little bit about the transition from graduating to being a professional and the decision-making process that you go through. So I gave them a few suggestions about that. I talked about my connections to Baltimore and to Peabody because really if it weren't for the Peabody prep, I don't think I would have become a violinist.
Yeah, you started in the Suzuki program, which a number
of
kids still doing it. You, of course, have navigated your career beautifully, and you're in huge demand, and you're doing all sorts of interesting stuff. But you also had to navigate the exigencies of the child prodigy. I mean, you were accepted to the Curtis Institute of Music when you were 10 years old. You know, you graduated when you were 19, which is the age that most of the kids at Peabody are entering, you know, their college career. You've been very successful at that. I mean, those of us who've known you literally since you were a very small child have always just admired you so much for being able to handle that kind of pressure, that kind of bizarre, weird, you know, way to grow up. What do you think has been your key to success on that side of the ledger?
I think it could be a very bizarre world, but also, as an instrumental student, there's always something to work on. So if you have great teachers and you have motivation, you have the right context, you can just keep trying to improve as a player and let all the other stuff happen around you. I loved performing, so I was actually really happy to have performance opportunities. I performed a lot at whatever school I was at, and I also welcomed the opportunity to play with orchestras because the sound of an orchestra is phenomenal when you're on stage with them, and then getting to play in different halls. I love to travel, so it was kind of everything I wanted to do
as a kid and a teenager,
and I got to do it as I was working on my instrument. And I think when you have a focus, it makes you feel more confident and you feel really good about something that you're doing. So I also had the benefit of that.
One of the things that the folks in the classical music business credit you with is doing so much to draw new people into classical concert halls. Folks who run symphony orchestras or choral organizations like the one I'm about to leave and others, you know, it's a struggle to make what we're doing relevant, to make what we're doing interesting and fascinating. And you've come up with some really interesting ways of doing it. One of them has to do with a knitting circle. Was that something you did in Seattle or
Yeah,
Frankfurt
when I have an artist residency, I like to incorporate things within the community into the artist residency and not just play in the typical settings that I would play in, which I have to say I think are really ideal for the music. A concert hall is a wonderful place to experience a concert. I've never actually tried in particular to bring people in, but I think because I have a lot of interests, when I follow my interests, they overlap with other people's interests. And if you connect as a person, then people are also interested in what you're working on, what you're doing. And because music is so personal, if they know who you are, then they can hear you and your music.
Speaking of personal, here's some music by a mutual friend of ours, Jennifer Higdon from Philadelphia.
Yay.
My guest today, Hilary Hahn. That's her playing along with the pianist Smythe, right?
Corey Smythe.
Playing a piece by Jennifer Higdon called Echo Dash. And this is another personal affection that you have for commissioning new pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, you play Mendelssohn, you play Tchaikovsky, you play Bruckner, but you're also very committed to expanding the canon of music for violin.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to study 20th century music history with Jennifer Higdon when it was like a few years after she graduated from Curtis. She was teaching at Curtis, and now she has so many commissions that she doesn't teach history anymore at Curtis. But I knew composers from when I was 10 because of the place that I went to school. And so I think for me, it was always an awareness that there's music of all eras. There's music from a long time ago. There's music of recently. There's music of now, and there's music that's going to be written. And I do feel like, for me, I like the variety of playing things from all different eras. And if you know a composer or you are interested in their music and you want to experience the process of their creation of music, it's really fun to commission them to write something because everyone approaches it so differently.
And you commissioned 27 of them, or the encores, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I commissioned 26 composers, and then I had an open contest for the 27th.
Yeah, and you play those as you tour the world, right?
Right.
Yeah, good for you. Let me ask you to throw those headphones on that are sitting in front of you. We're going to go to the telephones. Julia in Baltimore, welcome to Midday with Hilary Hahn.
I have two questions. Is there a difference between a fiddle and a violin? And has anyone ever played any Hillbilly Hoedown or Stradivarius?
All right, good questions. In the biz, we call fiddles and violins. I use the term interchangeably, but what do you think?
I think that a fiddler probably wouldn't call their instrument a violin. It's something to do with also the technique of playing. Violinists, however, like to be cool and call their violins fiddles. So it kind of depends on how casual you want to be with the instrument. But yeah, it's a very different technique, but it's the same instrument. The Stradivarius, a hoedown on a Stradivarius, I'm sure someone has done it. I'm sure.
But not you, huh? Haven't played any hoedown?
Well, I like a certain piece by Bela Fleck, and so I've played it on my violin, but not on a Stradivarius.
We have an email from Stephen who says, do you ever see yourself accepting a symphony conductor role? There are a lot of famous violinists. I mean, I think
it's true.
Itzhak Perlman and others, you know, who sort of, I don't know if it's graduate or, you know, they move in a parallel track.
Diversify.
From playing to conducting.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who've done that. They start by doing what's called play conducts, where they play a concerto, but they don't have a conductor and they lead the orchestra in some way. For me, it's not something that I'm particularly interested in. I really like working with conductors. I like having that person up there on the podium. It's one more person to interact with. It's one more idea of interpretation. And the orchestra, of course, has its own character, whichever orchestra it is I'm working with. But I don't feel like at the moment it's something that would play to my strengths or my interests. And I have a lot of respect for conductor, so I wouldn't want to just jump in without being prepared for it.
Well, that's nice to hear as a conductor. And of course, when you play with different orchestras, even the same piece takes on sometimes radically different dimensions when you're playing it, even if you've played it a lot of times. But, you know, you're dealing with a different set of musicians and in a different hall. I mean, it's fascinating how these pieces, you really do learn something every time you play them, don't you?
It's true. And because there's not usually a lot of rehearsal time, I wind up listening very closely to what the orchestra is doing naturally and trying to adapt my interpretation or my ideas of the piece to something that would work well together. So it really challenges me. And I like that reactive opportunity.
And of course, you also have a nice mix between recitals that you're playing with, you know, one or two other collaborators, and then symphony orchestra gigs. So you've been able to mix it up, and it sounds like you're having a good time.
Yeah, I think there's so much great repertoire, and there are so many wonderful audience members, and it's really pretty much around the world. So it's it's just a big honor to be able to do that.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's an honor to have us host you here on Midday. Thanks for coming by, Hillary. Good to
see
you.
Thank you.
Hillary Hahn, she's a Grammy Award-winning, internationally acclaimed concert violinist. We'll have a link to all things Hillary Hahn on our website, wipr.org/midday. We're going to go out today with Hillary playing one of the pieces that she commissioned for her series of encores. This is Farewell by David Del Tredici. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's Smart Nutrition with our nutrition diva, Monica Reinagle. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff, including a new study that's found a link between diet sodas and Alzheimer's disease. That's one of many studies that raise interesting questions about whether you can avoid specific foods to reduce your chances of developing certain diseases and conditions. Nutrition diva Monica Reinagle answers your calls and nutrition questions tomorrow here on Midday. Lunch today was provided by the Baltimore Chef Shop on the Avenue in Hamden, offering a variety of private events and cooking classes for kids and adults, including baking and international cuisines. Tomorrow evening, they're offering a class on Korean street food, and on Friday, they'll show you how to make Thai street food. We'll have more on the web at baltimorechefshop.com. Thanks for listening. For the entire Midday team, I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.